When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee. And on this week's show, back again, is the wonderful Noemi Bates. Noemi has been a dedicated practitioner of King Yoga for over 25 years, leading workshops and King Yoga Experience events at the Aetherius Temple in London, as well as regular practice sessions with the Awakening through King Yoga International Online Community. She is a firm believer in the transformational power of mystic yoga breathing, mantra chanting, spiritual healing, prayer, and the practice of positive visualization and affirmation. On this show, we talk about the nine freedoms from limitation to liberation. Episode one, we explore this timeless wisdom that transcends religion and philosophy, focusing on the first of the three freedoms: bravery, love, and service. Learn how to live courageously, love universally, and serve selflessly on your spiritual path.
Hello, how are you?
How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much. Nice to see you.
I've been just reading the nine freedoms. I'm really excited as well.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. Okay. So, I'm very excited as well, because it's a fantastic book, and it's a wonderful way for us to find out what is the purpose of our life here.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Will I ever leave this earth? And where will I go when I do leave this earth? And how will I get there? And I think the important question also is that, am I in control of my own destiny? I think that was very, very important for me when I was searching on my spiritual path to find that one out.
Yeah.
And when I came across the nine freedoms, it really outlines our evolutionary path, and it will always point us forward towards the direction we should all be heading. And one day we will all be heading, everyone on this planet will go down on this path. And just those who are not familiar, this is the book.
The nine freedoms from limitation to liberation. Yeah.
Yes.
Lovely. Wow. And yes, so why do the nine freedoms matter? And, are they these teachings universal?
They matter very much, because they're showing us the path we should all be heading. And just to name these freedoms are bravery, mm-hmm. love, service, mm-hmm. enlightenment, cosmic consciousness, ascension, interplanetary existence, Saturnian existence, and solar existence, because there is life beyond this earth, and we'll be going into the more advanced freedoms later on in the show. But what makes the nine freedoms so powerful is that it's not tied to any one religion or any one belief system. It's universal truth. Anyone can relate to it. In fact, it speaks to all of us, no matter who we are, regardless of our background, and it will give us something we can all apply in a very practical way in our everyday life.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And please share a little bit about who was Dr. King and how he received these communications to write, you know, the book and to he received the Nine Freedoms.
Yes, Dr. George King was a Western master of yoga, and he practiced various forms of yoga, in particularly the higher forms of yoga, for some 10 years, 8, 9 hours a day, as well as having a full-time job. So as you can imagine, that through this diligent practice of yoga, he's coming from the yoga tradition, he started doing his practices after the Second World War. So he was able to raise Kundalini into higher chakras in full. And that is important because we raise Kundalini to a smaller degree on a daily basis, because otherwise we could not live, we could not exist. But Dr. King developed himself to such an extent that he was able to use his full concentration, I think this is key, full concentration to raise this female primeval force, which is lodged in the base of the spine, take it up through each chakra in full into a higher chakra, something like third eye or Christ center. And in that state, he entered a deep meditative state, also known in the East as samadhi. And in this state, he was able to receive messages from masters on this world and also beyond. In 1961, between February 12th and March the 15th, an intelligence, a great master from another world called Mars Sector 6, communicated through him the Nine Freedoms. And Dr. King used a trance mediumship, which meant he entered this very high elevated state of consciousness. Kundalini was risen into a high chakra. He was completely detached from all his own conscious mind, and he was purely focusing on a carrier beam which was projected by this intelligence. So he was focused on this carrier beam, and the message of Mars Sector 6 was relayed through him. And it also has been recorded. If anyone is interested, they can listen to the voice of Mars Sector 6 and tune into his high vibration, and he's got very powerful presence as well. So Dr. King, in this state, received word for word the message of Mars Sector 6, which is the Nine Freedoms. So that's how it was received. It's a very unique state of trance mediumship Dr. King used for hundreds of occasions.
Yes.
He received hundreds of these messages over the years.
That's amazing. You have to be in such a high vibration to receive that. It's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And the freedoms are described as a signpost on our evolutionary path. What does this mean to you personally?
Yes, they were given, they were delivered to awaken us, to awaken the rise of consciousness in anyone who reads them.
Yeah.
If we're really honest, it's a study material. It's not enough just to read it once. I find it more and more I read it, more I discover, more I realize, more I understand. So we're really given a glimpse to the end goal of our spiritual attainment. And we'll have a deeper desire, greater desire to follow these steps along our spiritual or evolutionary path. And it's not an easy path, but it's a sure path which will lead us step by step to freedom, which will be lasting. And I would like to quote Dr. King when he says about the Nine Freedoms. He says that this mystic text is a wise, all-knowing light which will guide you from the karmic confines of earth through glorious ascension into lasting freedom.
Wow.
And it's beautiful. And I think it's very fitting calling them freedoms because they explain our evolutionary journey from limitation to liberation into ascension, which is the final initiation, if you like, on this earth. And from there on, life doesn't stop. We continue our evolutionary journey and into cosmic existence. And for me, this is an important work of spiritual philosophy. And what makes this text unique is that it goes beyond concepts of nirvana, of heaven, and really revealing our journey, our evolutionary journey into cosmic existence. And it also gives us a purpose of life, the meaning of life, why we are here. For me, it was always a very important question when I was searching on my spiritual path. And what I love about the Nine Freedoms is that anyone can follow this and we can apply it in our daily life. And we can go into that a bit more during this show, how people can apply these freedoms in their daily life. So the three ones we are going to focus on today is bravery, love, and service.
And why is bravery before them all? Why is bravery before, love and compassion? Because, yes, tell us that.
So, when we examine ourselves, when we look at our life, if we are honest with ourselves, and I think it's very important to be honest with ourselves, we can see our limitations that we carry with us, and they can manifest in many ways and many forms. One of them is fear.
Fear, yes.
Unfortunately, we all experienced it. We know how much fear can hold us back and stop us from expressing our higher nature, our true self. Because when we are fearful, we also stop the higher chakras functioning correctly. That's why courage is so essential in every aspect of our life, which is why it is the first freedom. So some people might think, bravery is a surprising step, but not really. Because we can't do anything without courage.
Yes.
Even when we are searching for truth, it takes courage. To recognize truth, it takes even more courage. And to live by this truth, once we have found it, I think this is the key. By following our spiritual convictions, our chosen path, it takes even greater courage. Because we have to detach from what our friends and family might think of our choices. I would like to quote, if I may, Mars Sector 6 from this freedom, when he says, men, and we must remember that back then in the 60s, they used a very different language. When he says man or mankind, he refers to humanity, women, men, children, and refers to Earth as terror. So when he says, man upon terror, today is beset by strange fears, which imprison his actions, his very outlook, which imprison his mind, I even his psychic abilities. Because fear can come in many forms, insecurity, jealousy, hate. Unfortunately, we are familiar with them. For example, some people are afraid of flying, even though
Yes.
it's one of the safest ways to travel. So that's why I was saying that it's very, very important to look at our life, why certain things are happening to us, and what are the things that are really holding us back?
Yes. And also the fear of stepping out of your comfort zone, of the known, to be on your spiritual journey. That's what the dark night of the soul is. We all must go through this darkness and stepping out of. Familiar, and another big fear is, of course, the fear of death. But our consciousness continues in miraculous celestial ways. There is no death, is there? It's just beautiful. And studying, so fear, studying fear coldly and without emotion. How can this practice, help us detach from that daily, detach from that. That's really amazing.
It is, and we can all do it. We can definitely detach from it. What we have to do, I would like to quote again, because I think these texts are absolutely fantastic. Kenmare Sector 6 says, break away from this fear by delving deep within yourself. So we are told what to do and discovering the great dormant powers which are latent there. Break away from this tight bondage by so enlightening yourself that this weapon may be rendered useless. Then he continues, study fear for what it is. Study it coldly without emotion. You will discover that it is but a state of mind which you have formulated for yourselves. So again, so we are here again told that to go within, which we can do it through meditation, through prayer. Deep rhythmic breathing, again, it's a fantastic way to bring peace, to harmony, balance into our lives. Mantra chanting, it all will take us within and make us focus, draws us to our higher self, which is all-knowing, all-powerful self. And once we have gone within, we will discover the great powers which we have within us. And it says that if we break away from this tight bondage, which is fear, which is holding us back, we'll become more enlightened. And this weapon, he calls it as weapons, fear, will become useless. So studying it, our fear, studying the situations we are going through, why they are happening, detaching from all the emotions that are attached to that experience or to that fear, we will discover that we can do something about it once we know what is holding us back and we can rise above it. So it's important to understand fear. What is that fear? Because all knowledge will lead us to freedom. And more we seek to understand, the less there is to fear. Because we only fear what we don't know, what we don't yet know, what we don't understand. And once we gain understanding, we come closer to enlightenment as well. So the key is detachment.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
As I mentioned
I love what
earlier.
he says about going within, you know, going within. And searching within and releasing that darkness, because we all have the darkness within. Releasing that, embracing that darkness, letting it go, allows us to hold more light, does it not?
Yes, absolutely. Very, very important to manifest that light because we are all light beings. Within us, there's this beautiful spark of God, which connects us all. You know, we all came from one source, and we just have to take away the layers of limitation we have put around ourselves so that our light may shine forth in greater light, in greater beauty, and it will.
That's beautiful. That's really lovely. And how does understanding karma help us live with greater courage and less fear? Because everything is karma, isn't it? We're all
24 hours a day. There's no
There's no
hiding
escape
from
from the
it.
karma.
And what's interesting about karma, I love karma. I must say, I do love karma. What's interesting is that in this text, Mars Sector 6 says that we don't need to fear people as long as we live in harmony with the law of karma. Because what we give out, we get back, we receive back. So when we are kind to people, we will receive kindness from people. When we give out love, we will receive love. And when we apply this very, very basic law of the universe in our daily life, fear of other people will fall away and we'll be free to live with greater courage. It's a universal law. There is no hiding from it. Everything on earth, everything in creation is governed by this one guiding law. And as I mentioned, 24 hours a day, we generate our karma, depending on our actions, depending on our thinking, and even we generate karma when we are asleep, because part of our consciousness is still active. So 24 hours a day, we shape the future we experience, either positively or negatively. And we also shape the conditions of our future lives, because we have more than one life. You mentioned earlier that when we die, we don't pass on. Our consciousness continues living and experiencing and generating karma again. So we continue living, but on a different frequency of vibration. And then when the time comes, and then we reincarnate into another body and live on this physical realm to gain further experiences. So this circle of living, karma and reincarnation continues until we can break away from this chain.
Yes.
And we walk through ascension, and which we'll be talking about in more depth in future shows. Mm. I would also like to say is karma is not a punishment.
Yes.
I love karma because karma is fair.
Yes.
It's not something to fear. It's something to embrace.
Yes.
I
and
heard
it takes
people,
away, yeah. It's, yeah. It takes away the, we have to take responsibility. It makes us take responsibility for our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions to make them of a more righteous, sacred nature, you know? It's because everything that we give out, what you give, you shall receive. Yes.
And it's a lesson.
Mm.
That's why it's been put there for, because to teach us what will, because well, we are here to go through these wonderful steps as outlined in the nine freedoms. And instead, as the nine major steps we will all follow, regardless of our background, of our religious belief, of our overall belief, there are steps we will all take. And karma will help us to follow these steps. And if we try to stray from the path where we're supposed to be heading, karma will show us, no, 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 that's not the way. You need to go back. And it will teach us through lessons, through experiences on earth. And rather than resisting karma, we should embrace it. Every experience is a lesson. That's why we're here on this earth, to learn, to grow, to experience, and eventually to rise above our limitations. Every experience is a wonderful opportunity to break another shackle that holds us to this earth. The Buddhists call it the wheel of rebirth.
Mm.
You know, that once we can
Samsara.
Break away from this wheel of rebirth,
Wow, beautiful. And can you share an exercise to cultivate bravery? Because I think it's so important. We cannot move upon our spiritual path unless we are brave to do so.
Absolutely. That's why it's the first freedom, bravery, courage.
Yes.
Again, whenever something happens in our life, just ask yourself, what is this experience teaching me? And it could be an unpleasant experience, a painful experience. It could be an elevating experience, because we go through it all. What is the lesson here for me to learn? So when we approach karma in this way, we begin to walk the path of wisdom and coming closer to liberation. So we can also visualize ourselves fearless and using positive affirmation. So once we recognized what that fear is, or what is that experience that we need from that lesson, then we can change ourselves, then we can learn from it. And then we can use visualization, very, very powerful, our visualization, see us rising above that limitation, rising above that fear. And you can also use positive affirmation, which is positively reprogramming our conscious mind. You could create your own affirmation, or you could use a generic one, which is a very well known, every day, in every way, I am getting better and better and better and better. And more you visualize yourself doing it, more you say it out loud, you could do it mentally when you're walking on a street, with great conviction, with great belief, more powerful it will become, and more you will start manifesting it. And you become more confident and fearless
Yeah,
as
that's
well. So that's a very simple practice we can all do.
Wow. And are we limited by our environment, to achieve our goals? And how does the role of bravery illuminate the role of bravery on our spiritual path? So, rising above our environment, rising above, the situations that we find ourselves in, does that limit us?
I think it's very, very important, and I think quite a lot of people will be able to relate to that. Some might go through extremely difficult life, and they might think, well, they might feel stuck. But there are many people born into hardship, without a doubt. But many of them, through sheer determination and hard work, because we have to put hard work into it, they manage to rise above their circumstances, achieve their dreams. That's where the visualization comes into it and positive affirmation. If you really start visualizing yourself rising above your environment, using affirmation, then you'll become more positive and then give you that extra strength. And yes, we can all rise above our environment. And this really illustrates that we are not bound by our environment. We can rise above that too. Our thinking, as I mentioned, plays a huge role, whether we realize it or not. But if we do that one single practice of visualization and positive affirmation, we can turn it around, because we can change our karma. We are the masters of our own ship. We can rise above our environment, and we can choose to cultivate a more positive perspective on our life. And there's always someone worse off than we are. All you have to do is turn on the TV and watch the news. It's extremely depressive, especially when we look at the news in Gaza and Ukraine. There's lots of devastation. So many people are suffering, lost their loved ones, lost their homes, starving. There are many, many crises all around the world.
Congo, it's terrible. Millions.
But believe it or not, I know you do, but many people may not realize that despite all this, the greatest crisis on earth is not a political one, not an economical one, not even the environmental one, but it's a spiritual one. Because if we can all come together, if we can all radiate this wonderful love energy. After all, we came from one divine source. We are all connected. Every one of us is a spark of God. And our purpose on this earth to spiritualize ourselves, all matter all around us. And if we can manifest this beautiful love through our actions, there won't be war, there won't be strife in the world, there won't be suffering. And it really beautifully takes us into the second freedom, which is love. Love energy.
I truly believe that there are more beautiful, loving happenings going on in this world than there are bad. It's just that we only see, I'm not only allowed to see the be, you know, they only put the negative on there because that causes the fear. Yeah, that's why we have to take ourselves away from all of that, and go within our own intuition and touch the beautiful divine love light energy of the of source of God, goddess within, and express that out to the world. It's so important, isn't it?
It's very important. I totally agree with you. Our news channels should be a bit more balanced because there's no gloom around the world. There is some goodness going on. People are doing wonderful charitable work. There's lots of healing work going on, which is not being reported.
Of
So
course.
our news is not being balanced at all, unfortunately. It's all just goes down the gloom, the negativity, and that's what they're planting on the mind belt, and it affects us all.
It
I mean,
does.
I always feel very down after watching the news. I don't know how about you. It's not great.
And
Obviously, there is lots of bad things happening around the world, but there are some good things happening as well.
oh,
So it
there's
needs to be
more.
balanced out for sure.
For sure. So the second freedom, love. Mars 6 to 8 describes love not as an emotion, but as universal energy. How does this challenge our understanding of love?
Yes, it's very, very interesting because it's definitely it's above emotion, it's above sentiment, it's not possession, it's not even limited to individuals
No.
because he describes love as impersonal. It's universal. It's a universal love he's speaking of. And this love energy flows through all life. And I would like to quote Mars Sector 6 again from the second freedom. He says, love is not the measure of emotion, whether soft or violent. It is something deeper, something greater, something which cannot be measured even in mind conception. So it's a very, very high description and understanding of love energy. And I must say, I'm very fascinated about God or the Creator or the Absolute. And I'm very fascinated by the concept of creation itself because it goes a little bit in, it goes into it in this freedom when he says that if you can imagine, let's just imagine that in the very beginning, there was only potential, there was nothing, only potential existed. And for reasons unbeknown to our present understanding, God or Absolute or the Creator of all life created the original potential. And then it introduced certain forces into potential, bringing into being manifestation, what we see around us. And finally, and this is it, finally came the preservation of that manifestation. And love energy is
Yes,
the preserving force.
keeps it all together.
It keeps it all together.
It's what God is, isn't it? Because God is
It's love.
omnipresent inside of everything, and it's the love energy that it's the gel, it's the love energy that keeps it flowing and functioning.
That's why it's limitless. That's why it's unconditional. And that's why it's impersonal, because it's love of all and love for all, which is exactly opposite from hate. So people who have hate in their lives, that's why we need to send them healing. So they are inspired to go within and contact that beautiful light within us all, this love energy, and they can radiate this love energy so they can transmute the hate, the
Yes.
coldness of their heart, and radiate this beautiful love energy through them.
That is so true because once you feel that connection with the love energy of source, it helps you to love everyone. And everything, that's what it does. It transmutes that negative energy, the ego. It transmutes it all. It's so empowering, isn't it? Beautiful.
It
Yes.
is beautiful. And that's what I love about these freedoms. They explain these things. They explain what love is. They explains why bravery is so important in our daily lives. And we can all implement them. We can all use them. Once we understand them, why are they there, then we can use them and it will help us.
Yes, definitely. And the text says, love is the healer of disease and the creator of peace. How does this translate into healing practice?
Very much so. And again, referring back to this freedom, it says Mars Sector 6 is that here it is, this sheet. It says, love is the transmuter of war. It is the creator of peace. Love as such is the healer of disease. And if we truly manifest this love energy and this second freedom, it will bring to our world, as he says here, freedom from want, freedom from war, freedom from disease, freedom from one's lower self, freedom from hate, freedom from even basic emotionalism. Because everything in the universe responds to this love energy. It heals, it transmutes, it uplifts, it transforms us. Spiritual healing is the one is the highest one of the highest expressions of love energy, and it's something that anyone can do. We can all do it. It's not the gift of the few, healing. We can all tap into the universal supply of energy and send it out in love, in compassion to humanity, to individuals, to loved ones. We can send it out to the whole world. And because action and reaction are opposite and equal, when we radiate pure love energy will return to us. It becomes this beautiful, endless, self-sustaining flow of beautiful cycle of giving and receiving.
Wow, that's beautiful, because whatever you give, you shall receive. It's a circle, isn't it, that comes around. And it's the most powerful energy in our realm, in the universe. Yeah. Wow. And you mentioned anyone can, channel love energy through healing. And can you tell us what this may look like for someone who's just wants to, a beginner who's never done this before? Because as you said, we are all healers and we can all bring that energy through us into this world. So yeah, tell us a little bit for a beginner.
Yes, so anyone who is in, interested in sending love energy to our world, we can all do that. All we have to do is just by raising our hand as such, closing the eyes, and we can do it at the end of this show, and just visualize white light flowing through us, down through the head, out through the palms of the hands. And also send it out from the heart chakra. This is the center of love, the heart chakra, which is just few inches front of the breastbone within the aura. And then we just send it out, this pure white light. Visualize white because it contains all the colors of the spectrum. Visualize this white energy flowing out through us, out to our loved ones. We can send it. We can send it to the whole world. We could see the whole world bathe in pure white energy. And important thing to remember is that when we send distant healing, which can be very effective, that we always visualize the person we're sending it to well. We don't visualize them. We don't see them ill in bed. We want to give the power to our visualization, so it has to be positive. So you see them well, happy, healthy. When we send healing to the world, let's say healing to the Gaza region, again, we don't see it in war, people suffering, but we see it in peace, people living in harmony with one another, people are being happy and living in abundance and so forth. So that's very, very important. Our visualizations are very powerful, and we want to give power to what we visualize, so we want to keep it positive always.
Lovely, absolutely beautiful, beautiful. And distinguishing between emotional love and universal love, what does the role of selfishness play in becoming a clean channel of love energy?
Yes, so emotional love would be more for a loved one. But universal love is a selfless love. So when we send love into the world, as illustrated earlier, we do more than just help individuals. We also help to raise the vibration of our planet and bring relief to the suffering on a global scale. And also when we combine our love energy with prayer, and also mantra is a very, very powerful way to draw higher vibratory energy into us, then it becomes a more powerful, a truly powerful act of service, a force that can uplift our soul and also can help not only heal us, because we are actually channels, we're channeling energy through us. And even though our focal point is not us, but someone else or the world, this healing energy will still flow through us and it will help us. It'll bring on healing within us too. But it will also bring healing to the world because what we send out, it will also return.
the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Love is the most important, beautiful energy in the universe. That is for sure. Wow. And the third, freedom. And this is so important. Service. The freedoms suggest that greatness today is not withdrawal from the world, but service within it. And this is so important. This shift in spiritual philosophy, because as a yogini, all the yogis in the past used to go into caves for 50, 60 years, all of their life, and just go into samadhi and not ever come out and give their teachings to the world. But I think the world is in such chaos and we're in such a shift in consciousness. It needs us to do the work for ourselves, our inner exploration and our inner spirituality and our inner enlightenment, and give that of service to others so that we give that out to the world. It's so important. So how do you see this shift in spiritual philosophy? In spiritual philosophy, it's amazing.
Absolutely. Times have changed.
Mm.
Maybe hundreds of years ago, it was fine to go into a shrine, go into the wilderness, and cut ourselves off from civilization and retreat to a cave to reach a deeper state of meditation and self-development. But times have certainly changed, because now greatness is measured very, very differently. So the greatest people are nowadays are those who still touch those higher states of consciousness, still go within, because we still have to go within. But they remain in the cities, in towns and so forth, live among people in the noise, in the clutter, but still go out in service, in helping others in many practical ways. People do that. And that's the opportunity we all have to bring spirituality into action, to use our compassion, our prayers, our healing to uplift those around us, because in the end, it is not the retreat from the world that defines our spiritual greatness, but service to others.
Yes, that is so true. And being of service to others helps our own spirituality, raises our own kundalini, you know, because as you give, so shall you receive. It's so important. And we all have to have periods in our life where we go into our cave, where we go for our own dark night of the soul. That's a period of reflection and contemplation and learning about ourselves and releasing the darkness. And, you know, we all have to go there. But then we come back and then we use that to elevate the world, to give it out to others and to be of service. It's just beautiful, isn't it?
It is. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do, and we can all do it. We all have time to do it. It's just finding that time.
Yes.
The hardest is, if we're honest with ourselves, is self-discipline.
Yes.
Sometimes it's easier, perhaps, when you're in an ashram. And I know someone who actually came from an ashram and lived out of an ashram for a couple of years. But then for some reason, he felt... He was drawn back to the ashram to live in that environment and follow his guru, and he's happy, which is fine. But it's much harder to live outside the ashram world and use our self-discipline, because we don't have a guru to tell us every day and watch over us, how we're progressing in our spiritual development. We have to do it for ourselves. Yeah. So it's extra harder.
Yeah.
But then we can all do it.
Yes.
We all have the ability to do it. We just have to do it.
and that's what happened to me. That's what happened to me. I had my guru, but something happened, and it was like he pushed me away. because his teaching was that we are all the guru, we are all the Buddha. You've got to go into your cave to find your inner Buddha, your inner guru, because they can only teach you to some level, but then you have to go in to find that. And what I believe in is being the householder yogini. Yeah.
Yes,
That's
very
what we call it. That's what we
true.
call it. Yeah. We call it the householder yogini because we are of the 5D, the spirit, the spiritual world. We are divine and we are human, but we are both. So we have to use our divinity and our humanity. We have to go into the human world as well to bring that balance and that harmony, and to help in both sides. That's what the balance is, isn't it? That we're all
Yeah.
wanting.
It is, and it's not easy.
No.
It's not easy, but I think our reward will be great if we just pursue this path and if we just start slowly, just a few minutes a day. And if you miss a day, don't be disheartened. There's another day. Do it tomorrow. Make sure you do it the next day and the next day. So just gradually you bring this routine. I think that's the secret. Bring this routine into your daily life, but never give up on it. Never ever give up. Keep pushing on, keep pursuing, and on your spiritual path, because you will go through some amazing experiences if you keep at it.
Beautiful, beautiful, yeah. And my so powerful, and it's just profound. And please, Noemi, where can we read the nine freedoms and to, give us the where we can do all of your events at the Aetherius Society as well.
Yes, so I have a website as well where you can see the activities I run in-house and also of online. We have an online community where people can join in. So my website is Noemi Bates, so it's Noemi Bates.com. Or you can go to our webpage, aetherius.org. Which is aetherius.org, where you'll be able to read more about how you can join in with World Healing Services, how you can help our world, how you can help your loved ones, how you can get hold of a copy of the Nine Freedoms. You'll find it all there.
Wonderful. Noemi, I just would love to say it's such a wonderful experience to have you on the show and to give us your divine wisdom and knowledge. So thank you for being on the Great Awakening Show.
Well, thank you very much. Well, it's a learning curve for me as well. But in a next show, I'm quite looking forward to that. Well, not quite.
Yes.
I'm very much looking forward to that because we are going to look at the higher freedoms, which is enlightenment, which is the culmination of bravery, love, and service, will take us into enlightenment, cosmic consciousness, and ascension, which we mentioned throughout this show, which are all the results of the first three freedoms. But I would like to leave you until then. I would like to say just like be brave, live in love, and then serve.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.